2,000 years ago, on April 15th, one of Jesus' disciples, now from my amateur point of view, let me put it to you best I can. One of Jesus' disciples said to Jesus, "It's time to pay our taxes and we don't have any money." That's how come I know it was around April 15th. That's close. In response to this statement by this disciple, Jesus said, "No problem." Now, why could he say no problem? Well, word has it, if you're a scholar at all, word has it Jesus was a miracle worker. If you handed a problem to a miracle worker, what would he be inclined to say? No problem. You got to hang out with people like that. I'm telling you. Miracle worker. I belong to a little small group. We do business around the world. These guys are all miracle workers. What an incredible group. If you handed any of them a problem, guess what they would say? No problem. They'll read how many books to solve it? How many that it takes? If they need to consult, how much consulting will they do? As much as it takes. How early will they get up? As early as it takes. So it is no problem. You've got to hang out with people like that. You cannot believe the thrill of being associated with miracle workers. People who will do whatever it takes to get the job done, perform miracles. Jesus said, "I'm telling you, it's no problem." He said, "It's going to be simple. This time to pay taxes and haven't got any money. It's going to be easy. Must have been to my seminar." Jesus said, "It's going to be easy." He said to his disciples, "Here's how easy it's going to be. Just go fishing." Now, it can't be any easier than that. And especially for this disciple, his name was Peter. And Peter was what? A fisherman. Now, if you can fish and you should fish and you don't fish, that's how come you get no miracle. But he said to his disciples, "Just go fishing. And the first fish you catch, look in his mouth." Peter said, "Okay." He was used to strange things happening. Peter goes fishing, catches the first fish, looks in his mouth. What? Coins. Coins in the fish's mouth. Peter says, "Wow, coins." And he starts counting and adding up the value of these coins. Guess how much it added up to? Exactly enough money to pay his taxes and Jesus' taxes. I'm telling you, Jesus did pay taxes. Now the question is, should he? And my book coming up is going to answer that question, right? Yes, of course. Jesus and kids should pay taxes. Everybody has to pay. Now, what do we call coins in the fish's mouth? Here's what we call it. A miracle. And here's why we call it a miracle. Simply because we don't quite understand how it works. That's all. It doesn't mean it doesn't work. It means we don't quite understand how it works. Which is true of all miracles. And most of us, all of our life is a miracle. I'm telling you. Here's the greatest miracle of all. God says, now I'm an amateur on God too, but let me give you my best shot. God says, "If you'll plant the seed, I'll make the tree." Wow, you can't have a better arrangement than that. Number one, give God the tough end of the deal. What if you had to make the tree? That'd keep you up late night trying to figure out, how do you make a tree? God says, "No, leave the miracle part to me. I got the seed, the soil, the sunshine, and the rain, and the miracle of the seasons, and I'm God, and I can do all this miraculous stuff. I just have reserved something very special for you, and that's what? Plant. That's it. Not chant. No, you don't have to chant and sleep under a pyramid. No." But if you want a miracle, you've got to do whatever you can do. And if that's plant, it's plant. If it's read, it's read. If it's change, it's change. If it's study, it's study. If it's work, it's work. Labor, whatever you've got to do. Now, here's number two. Do the best you can. Now, for a lot of people, that's not their philosophy. Do the best they can. They pass on that. Guy slips in late on the job. They don't seem to notice. He stretches his lunch break 2 hours. Nobody seems to mind. 4:15 is the first one on the parking lot, heading for happy hour. Guy says, best as I can calculate, I'm putting in about a half a day's work and I'm collecting a full day's pay. And the guy says, I got it made. Little does he know, the seeds of his own disaster are already being sown by his lousy philosophy. Doing less and less and wanting more and more, I'm telling you, it's called disaster. But develop your own philosophy. Here's the best philosophy. Do what you can, number one. Number two, do the best you can. My father even taught me, always do more than you get paid for. Why? To make an investment in your future. Do more than you get paid for. Now, the unions would argue with us on that. But here's the clue. Let other people have their philosophy. And let that take them wherever they're going to go. And let you have your own philosophy. Don't set your sail by everybody else's sail. There are some people that are heading for the rocks. They're heading for disaster. I'm asking you to privately take all the information you can possibly get from me and from everybody else that's got something valuable to share. And then you program your own program to set your own sail. Don't just pick up someone else's philosophy and go by it. Set your own sail. And here's the best advice I can give you. Number one, do what you can. Number two, do the best you can. All kinds of miracles start to happen when you do the best you can. If we all fell on the floor right now and did as many push-ups as we possibly could. And let's say for some incredible reason, you haven't been into push-ups lately. I can't imagine why, but let's say. And let's say the best you can do is five. And you look up at the rest of us when you've finished, and you say to all of us, five is the best I can do. We can tell by the look on your face that's probably true. Five is the best you can do. Now, here's a big question. Is five all you can do? The answer is no. Here's the secret. If you rest a little, you can do five more. And here's what's exciting. You don't have to rest for a week. If you just rest a little, you can do five more. And if you rest a little, what? You can do five more. And if you rest a little, you can do eight more. Eight. Eight. I thought five was the best you can do. No. If you keep up the repetitive process, rest a little and get back to it, I'm telling you, it'll what? Increase. And if you rest a little, you can do eight. If you rest a little, you can do eight. If you rest a little, you can do 12. 12. How did we get from 5 to 12? It's a miracle! Did you know you can keep up that process and finally get up to doing 50 push-ups? When 5 was the best you could do, now you can do 50? How do you multiply something by 10, go from 5 to 50? It's a miracle! And here's how the miracle works. Number one, do what you can. Number two, do the best you can. Here's number three, rest very little. What is your philosophy on labor versus rest? Here's an Old Testament philosophy. Here's an Old Testament philosophy. It says what? 6 days labor and what? 1 day rest. Is that a good philosophy? Remember now, don't be swept along to disaster by somebody else's philosophy. You've got to develop your own philosophy. A lot of the people who are around you are headed for disaster. And if you pick up their habits, and if you pick up their vocabulary, and if you pick up what they read, and if you talk like they talk, you're headed for disaster. You cannot just buy everybody's philosophy. Here's an ancient suggestion on philosophy on labor versus rest. 6 days labor, 1 day rest. Now, I'm not saying 5 and 2 isn't okay. Hey, if God would have thought of 5 and 2, he might have made it 5 and 2. You can't think of everything when you're putting one of these together. But what about 6-1? Well, kids may come up with the obvious. I love to talk with kids. They cut through everything, come up with the obvious. Here's what success is. A refined study of the obvious. Kids would come up with the obvious here. What would they say? Hey, 6-1's probably best because if you rest too long, the weeds take the garden. You got to note that. If you rest too long, the weeds take the garden. Can you think of somebody that's right now about where they were 10 years ago? That may be one of the problems. They keep working hard, but they keep resting too long, and the weeds keep taking it all. They need what? A refinement of philosophy. Because with that poor philosophy, I'm telling you, the wind is going to take them to the rocks. And 10 years from now, they'll be driving what they don't want to drive, wearing what they don't want to wear, living where they don't want to live, and blaming the Democrats. Come on. Jerry talked about no nonsense. That's how I got my life changed. I found a teacher who gave me the no nonsense and said, Mr. Rohn, you've messed up. Let me show you how to change all that. Gosh, that was easy language for me to understand. And he put it in such simple terms, I took it and bought it and went it. Changed my life, changed my whole future. I'm asking you to consider, at least consider, doing the same thing. Do the best you can. It'll perform miracles. Multiply. Here's what else is exciting. The same thing that goes for your muscle goes for your money. If you can multiply your muscle by 10, only 5 push-ups and finally get to 50, you can do it with your money. I not only did it with my muscle, I did it with my money. I'm broke at age 25. I'm a millionaire at age 31. And I'm telling you, anybody that wants to make a drastic change in your income, you can do it, starting with a brand new philosophy. You say, well, Mr. Owen, here's what they pay. What do you care what they pay? What's your philosophy on your future? What is your current economic philosophy for your future and your family? If I lingered after this seminar was over, and just you and me one-on-one got together, and you gave me the details of your current economic plan, would I get so excited I'd go across the country and lecture on it? You say, well, no, Mr. Rohn, you probably wouldn't want to lecture on my financial plan. My next question is, why not? How come you've arrived at this point in your life and you don't have a superior economic plan for the future? How did you get here? I'm telling you, if that's where you find yourself, you have messed up. But here's what's exciting about this seminar today. I brought you to this seminar today and invited you to come here, not to get on your case, just do that. That's what my teacher did, but not to leave you there. The reason I'm laboring so hard to go through all this stuff today is to give you a little better track to run on. At least consider it. So that 5 years from now, you've got the health you want, you've got the family you want, you've got the relationship you want, you've cleaned up all the neglect, and you're on track. So number one, do what you can. Here's number two, do the best you can. Now the reason for doing the best you can, there's another reason. To develop the skills. Repetition is the mother of skills. Now why develop the skills? Here's why. Skills makes labor more valuable. If you just labor, you'll make a living. If you skillfully labor, you can make a fortune. If you're interested, I know a lot of people aren't interested. But surely you are. You wouldn't have parted with this kind of cash and this kind of time. Skillful labor. If you just talk to your family, you can hold them all together. If you skillfully talk to your children, you can help them build dreams for the future. Skillful language. That's why I spend so much time on the weekend, especially on communication, affecting other people with words. You can't be lazy in language. It costs too much. What if you meant to say to someone you care about? What if you meant to say, what's troubling you? And instead you said, what's wrong with you? Wow! That's too big a mistake! And sure, you could have made that mistake 10 years ago, but not now. You should have gotten much better by now in language and communication. Come on, we need the skills to help build our family's dreams. We need the skills to stir up an enterprise and make it successful. We need skills to build equities for the future. Skills, skills of all kinds. Skills multiplies labor by 2, by 3, by 5, by 10, by 50, by 100. Hey, you can chop the tree down with a hammer, but it takes about 30 days. Called what? Labor. But if you trade the hammer for an axe, you can chop the tree down in about 30 minutes. What's the difference between 30 days and 30 minutes? Skills. Skills makes the difference. So I'm asking you, pleading with you, number one, do what you can. Clean up all the neglect. And number two, don't settle for the best, less than the best you can do. The best you can do will start working miracles. Multiply your muscle by 10. Multiply your money by 10. Multiply your relationship with your family in terms of equities by 5, by 10, by 50, by 100. And if you're interested in that, you can start the journey today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You can start today. You don't have to wait till spring. You don't have to wait for some convenient year. This is the best year I know of to start. Put yourself through an activity plan. All right. Now here's number four. Finally, we've gotten to number four. Number four of the five major pieces to the life puzzle. I call it results. Results. Every once in a while, we've got to look at the results to see if our philosophy is working. To see if our attitude is working. One of the reasons for measuring results is to see what's working and to see what isn't working. To see if your disciplines are on track. They're either on track or what? Off track, depending on results. Now take this phrase home. Results is the name of the game. What other game is there except to work on philosophy and attitude and discipline so that you can produce results? What is the reason for the seasons? To see what you can do with them. Why the season, the soil, and the sunshine, and the rain, and the turn of seasons, and the miracle of life? Why all of that? Here's why all of that. To see what you can do with it. Results. Now, here's all life asks us to do concerning results. Here it is, simple phrase. It's one of the best I got for the day. Life only asks us to do this. Make measurable progress in reasonable time. Just jot that down. Make measurable progress in reasonable time. That's what life asks us to do. So number one, you've got to be reasonable with time to ask for a measure, weigh, and account on results. Don't be unreasonable with time, parents. Don't be unreasonable with time, managers, brokers, business associates. Have a little patience. Okay. You can't ask somebody every 5 minutes, how are you doing now? That's too soon. Guy says, I haven't left the building yet. Give me a break. So 5 minutes is too soon to ask. Now 5 years is what? Too long and too late. So what is reasonable time to ask for results and a measure? Here's number one at the end of the day. You can't let more than a day go by without getting some things done, some letters written, a father's conversation with a daughter. You can't postpone the important more than a day. If you work on a job, some things you've got to get done within a day, you've got to make some calls within a day. Your health disciplines, you've got to get those done within a day. You can't carry over. Say, well, I'll eat 9 apples, 10 days from now. No. It's an apple a day. A day. Some things you've got to get done within a day. So 5 minutes to midnight, you haven't got your apple yet? Munch away. Get it done. A day. Now here's next. A week. Some things you've got to get done within a week. Stuff on the job. Calls made. Activities. A week is a good chunk of time. Can't let more than a week go by without taking a look and taking a measure and see how you're doing. John joins this little sales company. Supposed to make 10 calls first week just to get acquainted out there in the marketplace. Would it be legitimate to call John in on Friday and say what? How many calls did you make? That's called legitimate. It's legitimate time to ask for a measurable amount of progress. Supposed to make 10 calls Friday. John, how many calls? John says, well, you say, John, well won't fit in my little box here. I just need what? A number. Now John starts with a story. You say, John, the reason I made this little box so small is so a story won't fit. I don't need a story. I just need what? A number. Now here's one of the better phrases to take home. The numbers tell us the whole story. On you personally. The numbers tell us the whole story. Success is a numbers game. Show started right away with me on numbers. Let me give you three of the questions he asked me. He asked me a lot more, but here's three of the most important. Question number one, Show said, Mr. Rohn, you've been working 6 years. Age 19 now, 25. Question, how much money have you saved and invested the last 6 years? I'll give you time to jot these questions down because these are important. Three of the most important questions he asked me. How much money have you saved and invested the last 6 years? And I said what? Zero. He said, who sold you on that plan? I said to myself, my gosh, the man's right. I'm a nice guy and I love my family, but I bought the wrong plan. Doesn't this zero tell the story? I'm definitely off track. Second question. Show said, Mr. Owen, you want to be successful and powerful, sophisticated and healthy and influential, a hero to your family. Question. In the last 90 days, how many books have you read? Invest in the miracle of your mind. Give you ideas to ponder. Fashion your future with meticulous care. How many books have you read in that process the last 90 days? And I said what? Zero. I said, yeah, but you don't understand. These negative relatives are putting me down. Those Democrats have got things messed up. Third question. Shelf said, Mr. Owen, in the last 6 months, how many classes have you taken to improve your skills or to develop new skills? For your future and your family, how many classes in the last 6 months? And I said what? Zero. Three excellent questions. I'm striking out. I got zeros on all those questions. Shope said, Mr. Owen, unless you cure these numbers, you're headed for disaster. 6 years from now, you won't just be broke. You'll be double broke. Wow, I started turning these numbers around. Next 90 days, I became a reader. I started taking some classes. I started investing in my library. I started putting my money away. I started a brand new financial plan, which I'll discuss with you in that next seminar, how to become financially independent. I'm telling you, numbers tell us everything. Success is a numbers game. We demand it of our children. How many years do you want your child to spend in fourth grade? Approximately. What? About one. You say, well, if they're nice kids, would you give them 3 or 4 years? You say, no. It's not a beauty contest, getting ready for the world, making your way financially, socially, personally. You can't spend more than 1 year in one grade. It's unacceptable. And if it looks like they're not going to make it, what do? Pour on the pressure. Family pressure, peer pressure, school pressure, every other kind of pressure. Teacher pressure. Why? Can't stay here more than 1 year. You got to learn this stuff and move along to the next grade. And if we demand it of our kids, parents, we've got to demand it of ourselves. You got to make progress in reasonable time. You got to take a look at the numbers and see how you're doing. It's the name of the game. How often should you weigh the new baby? You say, well, next spring we'll weigh the baby. No, you can't wait till next spring. Don't you have to weigh the new baby often? The answer is yes, of course, to see what? Is it gaining weight or what? Losing weight. What if it's losing weight? The alarm bells have got to go off. You can't let a little baby lose weight very long. It's called disaster. These numbers are important. How often should you check the corporation? See if it's healthy or not. You say, well, in a couple of years, we'll get all the accountants together. No, you'll be out of business. In Las Vegas, the big gambling houses, guess how often they put together a financial statement to see where they are? Several times a day. Why? So much is happening. If you don't learn when to shut down some of those tables, you'll be out of business by midnight. You can't wait till midnight. You can't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow's too late. You got to know the numbers. What is your cholesterol count? You don't know and you don't care. You've just got your fingers crossed for the future. We better come get your family. Take them to safety. Come on. Be responsible for the set of your own sail. Leave it to no one else but yourself and learn to refine these numbers yourself. How many pounds overweight should you be at age 50? John says, well, I got big bones. Well, we'll give you 10 pounds for big bones. But hey, 25, 30 pounds, we got to turn on the caution light flashing at home and at the office. Somebody says, what's that flashing caution light? That John's up about 20, 25 pounds. 35, 40 pounds. Flashing red light at home and at the office. Somebody says, what's that flashing red light? See, John's up about 40 pounds. £50 siren. Somebody says, what's that siren? See, John's over 50 pounds. I'm asking you to take charge of your own life. Take charge of your own retirement. Take charge of your own health. Don't just drift along with the crowd who don't care and don't care to be responsible about being meticulous about the numbers. Some of these numbers have got to be coming down like your cholesterol. Some of these numbers have got to be going up like the number of books in your library. And don't be satisfied until you've looked at all your own numbers and be responsible. Don't wait for somebody to come along. Fortunately, I had somebody come along at age 25. But what if nobody comes along? You've got to seek out the information. If you search, you can find it. Motivation. Here's what's really important. Self-motivation. Guy says, boy, if somebody just come by and turn me on, what if they don't show up? You've got to have a better plan for your life. Are you just going to sit in the shadows and wish the rest of your life? The answer is no. I'm telling you, you got to get up. You got to do something about it. Become self-motivated. Become self-educated. Seek out the books. Don't wait for somebody to come by and just put them on you and say, oh, please buy. I'm asking you to go search for them. Go look for them. An ancient phrase says, if you search, you will find. Here's how it also reads. In order to find, you must search. Like you did today. Come searching. I appreciate that. Rarely does a good idea interrupt you. You got to go looking for it. You got to go to church and see if you can find it. You got to go to the library and see if you can find it. You got to come to seminars like this and see if you can find it. You got to get the books and read and see if you can find it. You got to listen to the cassettes and see if you can find it. And it says, if you will search, you'll find some good ideas to change your health. You'll find some good ideas to change your ability to get promoted. You'll find some good ideas to change your income, change your future, change the amount of properties you own. I'm telling you, you'll find it. Results is the name of the game. Let's check the numbers. Don't be satisfied with anything less than the best of numbers. Jesus walked along one day with his disciples, saw a fig tree. Interesting story. And as Jesus looked suspiciously at this fig tree, he said to his disciples, does that fig tree have any figs? Do you think that's an important question? I'm telling you, for a fig tree, it's the all-important question. Does it have any figs? His disciples said to Jesus, no, sir, of all the trees you were to pick, this particular fig tree does not have any figs. The story said Jesus lost his cool. One of the few times he lost his cool. Why? I think to make a point. A fig tree without figs, it is unacceptable. Jesus swiftly said, I suggest that fig tree doesn't have any figs, I suggest you promptly take it out. And he added, why let it take up the desk? I mean, the ground. So you got to get all your folks together every once in a while and say, today we're counting the figs. What for? To see who gets to stay. Why? It's the name of the game. Ancient story said a master had three servants and he gave them talents. One of the most extraordinary stories ever recorded. The story of the talents. In those days, a talent was a measure of gold, or it could be money, or any value. And he said to his three servants, now in those days it was not a servant like we would consider a servant, but a caretaker. And the master said to his caretakers, take these talents, these values, and see what you can do with them. I'm off on a journey. I'll be gone for a while. When I get back, we'll go over the numbers. They all said, okay. So before he left, he gave one of these servants five of these values. He gave another servant two, and he gave another servant one. Now, why the difference in number? We don't know. What do you know? You don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows. But kids would come up with the obvious. What's the obvious up here? They all had something. There were no zeros up there. And I got to say that to this audience this afternoon. There's no zeros here. You wouldn't have gotten this far, showed up, parting with your cash and your time. Everybody here's got something. Doesn't matter whether it's one, two, or five. Who cares as long as you got something to work with? I usually take the simple approach. The obvious is best for me. The guy says to me, well, this happens to me, and this happens to me, and all this goes wrong for me. How come all this happens to me? I say, beats me. All I've been able to figure out is those kind of things always happen to people like you. What do I know? I'm no genius. But here's what I do know based on my own experience. If you will change, everything will change for you. Don't keep crossing your fingers and hoping the wind will change. Go to the library. Get you a card. Find this little book, Richest Man in Babylon. Attend more seminars. Buy more cassettes and more books. Attend more sermons. Listen to more dialogue. The lyrics of songs. Get yourself better educated. And I'm telling you, you can change anything you want to change. If you'll change, it'll all change. If you change, your ability to be promoted will change. If you don't change, it isn't going to change. You'll have to be satisfied with the same problems you got today over the last 5 years. They're going to continue the next five. But if you'll change, it'll all change. So what the numbers? Here was the master's instructions. Whatever I gave you, see what you can do with it when I come back. Let's have an accounting. Story said he went away, came back from his journey, and he got the three together after he got back and said, what happened? This servant said, I turned the five you gave me into ten. How about that? How do you go from five to ten? It's a miracle. Master said what? Good numbers. Five to ten. Then he asked this servant, I gave you two. What happened? This servant said, I went from two to four. Now, he didn't go from two to ten, but he at least went from two to four. Here's what I've got to ask you to do in all maturity, since this is a fairly mature audience. In all maturity, someday you've got to put together your at least list. How can you live with yourself by the end of the year unless you at least what? At least, next year, at least, to have the admiration of your family, at least, put together your at least list. Don't let yourself off the hook with less than you can do, less than you can perform. You don't have to go to 10, but if you got 2, you got to go to 4. Now the master said to the third servant, I gave you one value, what happened? That servant said, I've still got that same value. Story said, the master lost his cool. Took a page out of Jesus' book. Why? I think to make a point, one to one, unacceptable. In fact, the master said in his rage, take that value away from this person and give it to the one that's got 10. Now, why do that? We don't know. What do you know? You don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows. Here's all we know based on experience. It keeps happening. That's all we know. Now, kids would come up with the obvious. They'd probably say, well, that's probably the best thing to do. Why? If you give this talent to this person that's got 10, what'll he probably do with it based on experience? He'll probably turn it into 2, 3, 5. Then if he has to, he can easily take care of this poor guy. We've all learned, haven't we, the wisdom of an ancient script. Here's what it says. Whatever you don't use, you lose. You're not entitled to it anymore. You got gifts you don't use. You got brains you don't use. You got strength you don't use. You got intelligence you don't use. You got some drive you put on the shelf not using anymore. I'm telling you, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. 10 years from now, it's called wipeout. Enough years and it's called disaster. Sit in your own shadows while the others walk in the light. I'm telling you, it's time to consider it. Life change starts with a consideration of this kind of stuff. Results is the name of the game. Isn't this good stuff? This is valuable. I'm getting a lot out of this seminar. I should have paid to get in. Here's number five. After results, the fifth piece of the five major pieces is called lifestyle. Lifestyle now is the ultimate challenge of life. And here's the clue to lifestyle. Take your results and jot this word down. Fashion. Fashion for yourself a good life. Fashion, like weaving a tapestry. A good life must be woven with care. It doesn't just happen by accident. Mr. Schultz gave me two phrases that helped change my whole life. Let me give you those two phrases. This is worth more than the price of the seminar, what I'm about to share with you now in the next couple of minutes. Here was the first phrase. Schultz said, Mr. Owen, if you wish to be wealthy, study wealth. Just jot that down. If you wish to be wealthy, study wealth. When he said that, I said to myself, my gosh, I don't know anybody that studies wealth. Where am I going to learn it? He said, never mind. Now that you've gone to work for me, get this little book, Richest Man in Babylon. He said, I will teach you how to become wealthy. I got the book. He taught me. By the time I'm 31, I'm a millionaire. I'm telling you, I recommend it. If you wish to be wealthy, study wealth. I would have learned it sooner, just didn't know. In high school, if they would have offered Wealth 1, Wealth 2, I'd have taken both classes. I wouldn't have waited until I was 25 and broke. Here was the next phrase. Schultz said, Mr. Owen, if you wish to be happy, study happiness. What a revelation that was. I didn't know happiness was a study. My best hope for happiness at age 25 was to just go through the day with my fingers crossed. Hoping some would make happiness is not by accident. Happiness is on purpose. Happiness is not by chance. Happiness is by choice. Happiness is a study. Happiness is a practice. Happiness is not an account. It's not a bank account. Happiness is an art. And anybody that wants to can study the art of weaving their own happiness like weaving a tapestry. If you're interested. But isn't it sad to have the results and not the happiness? The answer is yes. Don't we all pity the father who's got the money but not the joy? Yes. A father who wads up a $20 bill, throws it at his son, and says, here, if you need the darn stuff that bad, just take it and get out of my face. How sad, a father with money and no joy. He studied economics, but he never studied joy. How to get joy from your substance. The man taught me well. Sure. Happiness is an art, just like culture, just like sophistication. It's not out of the reach of anybody. Poor people. People of modest means can become cultured and sophisticated. Because it's not an amount. It's not an account. Rich doesn't do it for you. It's a study. I know a guy that's rich. He's a clod. The guy eats with his elbow in his soup. I mean, he's just a clod. Nothing much more pitiful than a rich clod. How sad. But how much is a book on sophistication in the marketplace? $40,000. No, $40. Everything's within everybody's reach in America. And in the library, it doesn't cost $40. It's free for the asking if you bypass happy hour and head for the library. If you want your life changed. Culture, sophistication is within reach of all of us. Happiness is within reach of all of us. Here's the clue. Happiness must be woven like weaving a tapestry. If you want a happy birthday, you got to weave it. A happy birthday is not just accidental, it's woven. with care. A good evening is woven with care. The good life is woven, an experience is woven, like weaving a tapestry, if you're interested. Happiness is not a hope. It's a plan. It's an art. It's a learned art, and anybody that wants to can learn it. Happiness. One of my friends had a birthday party, Beverly Hills. His wife wove that party so carefully, it was one of the most extraordinary events I've ever attended. Everybody that was there will remember this birthday party for the rest of their lives. Why? It was so well woven. 10 o'clock at night, guy says, oh my gosh, this is my wife and I's anniversary. He heads for the drugstore, pick up some trinket. Not woven well. Come on. If you want a good weekend, you've got to weave it. Don't just hope it'll happen by accident and that you'll have some happiness. No, happiness is an art. It's an art form. And anybody that wants to can study it and practice it until you get so good at it. You can dazzle. Any father who wants to can dazzle his family with his present resources. You don't need any more resources. You just need to learn how to weave and not leave it to chance. Guy gets home, says, give me a beer, turn on the television, let's get happy. No, 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 no. Weave it carefully with your own hands. Put your own heart and soul into it. Now, sure, when you get more money, you can go more places. It doesn't make you any happier. Happiness is a separate art from travel. Happiness is separate from anything else. Happiness is separate from economics. Happiness must be carefully woven on its own. Sure, I get to fly the Concorde now. You can get there faster, but you can't be any happier. You got to weave that. It is exciting, though, to get from, what, London to New York in 3 hours. And you meet some interesting people on the Concorde. My last flight, for the second time, I met Christopher Reeves, Superman. I said to my business partner, we're going to be okay. Superman's on this plane. All right, how lucky can you get? I met Henry on the Concorde. Henry Kissinger. Henry said to me, I've had an interesting day today. I said, what? Henry said, I had breakfast this morning in Paris. And he said, I just finished lunch here in London. And he said, tonight in New York, I'm having dinner with my friends with time to spare. You can only do that if you fly the Concorde. Breakfast in Paris, lunch in London, and dinner in New York. If you fly the Concorde, you can see 2 sunsets in one day. If you're in London and watch the sun go down, when you get to New York, you get to watch it go down again. 2 sunsets one day. But hey, until you can get to 2 sunsets, what are you doing about one? In the leadership weekend, we take this subject by itself and expand it. Here's the clue, how to be happy with what you've got while you pursue what you want. You don't have to postpone your happiness because all that has to be done is woven with care. Don't miss the play we teach in the weekend. Don't miss the experience. Don't miss the extravaganza. Don't miss the book. Don't miss the game. Don't miss the symphony. Don't miss the play. Don't miss the movie. Save by value. Don't waste your time on things that don't count. Save up. Have an experience. Weave your happiness with care. And you can have all the lifestyle you can possibly handle for a lifetime if you will take this as seriously as you take anything else. Help a child to weave their own happiness. Don't leave them discouraged. Don't leave them in the dark. Don't leave them wishing for better days. Don't leave them wishing for better experiences. Take whatever you've got and fashion. If you've got pennies, fashion it with pennies. If you've got time, just fashion it with time. Whatever you've got with your own hands and your own mind, study and practice the art of weaving your and your family's happiness. Don't leave it to the winds of chance and change. Okay. That is the 5 major pieces to the life puzzle. I hope it's been valuable. The first subject is personal development. Personal development is a challenge to see what you can become. And Shel started me with the challenge to see what I could become with that promise. Age 25, Mr. Owen, if you will change, everything will change for you. I started that process at age 25. Now, I also want to tie personal development with setting goals. In the weekend leadership, we have what we call the Goals Workshop. It's called Designing the Next 10 Years. I'm telling you, you'll come out of it mind-weary because it's a hard workshop. It's tough. But you can't believe what you'll have out of that workshop, Designing the Next 10 Years. But now let me just give you some highlights on personal development and setting goals. In teaching kids personal development, I start with money. Now, you can start anywhere. Shel started with money with me. His first question was what? How much money have you saved, Mr. Rohn, and invested the last 10 years? Now, you don't have to start with money on teaching personal development, but in talking to kids especially, I start with money. Because you got to start somewhere. And it doesn't really matter where you start to find out if you're on track or off track. It doesn't matter where you start. And I start with money. Because, number one, kids are interested in money. And number two, it's easy to count. Say, how are you doing? I don't know. Let's count. Now, I know that money is not the only count. I understand that. But if this doesn't count well, we better check your cardiovascular. If you don't have the disciplines to make this work well, you probably don't have the disciplines to make your heart work well. Or to make your family work well. Or to make your marriage work well. Or to make your enterprise work well. One lack of discipline shows us we better look everywhere. And so I start with money. And it's one of the most intriguing ways to teach personal development to kids especially is to start with money. Here's what I teach kids. We get paid. Kids are all interested in getting paid. So here's what I teach them. We get paid for bringing value to the marketplace. That's about as simple an economic strategy as I can put to you. We get paid for bringing value to the marketplace. Now, it takes time. That's true. It takes time to bring value to the marketplace. But we don't get paid for time. Just put an X there. It takes time, but we don't get paid for time. Mistakenly, the man says, I'm making about $20 for an hour. Not true. If that was true, you could just stay home, have him send your money. No. We pay you not for the hour. We pay you for what? The value. We pay you for the value you put in an hour. Now, since that's true, here's one of the most important questions of the afternoon. Is it possible to become twice as valuable as you are right now and make twice as much money in the same time? Is that possible? Of course. That's a good way to emphasize something in my life. Of course. Right? Title of my new book. Of course. Is it possible to become three times as valuable as you are right now and in the marketplace make three times as much money in the same time?
Of course.
Got me a few more converts here. Could you become 10 times more valuable than you are right now to the marketplace and make 10 times as much money in the same time? Of course. If you're interested. Now, I'm telling you, a lot of people aren't interested. America is unique. Here's one of the reasons why it's unique. It's a ladder to climb. It starts down here, what, $4 an hour. And then it's a ladder. Just keep going up here like this. Top of the ladder last year. Top income last year, $80 million. The guy that runs Coca-Cola. Now, that's a heck of a ladder. Start down here, up to $80 million. No wonder everybody wants to come here, squeezing through the fence, riding in a rickety boat, doing everything possible to get here. Why? There's never been a ladder like this in the history of the world. Now, here's what else is exciting. There's plenty of room at the top. It's the bottom that's crowded down here. Now, here's what else is exciting. Last year, there was a big debate in Congress. said that this 4 is too little. 4 is too low. Should be 5, should be 5, should be 5. And that's silly. 5 is already on this ladder. You don't need legislation. Well, yes, you would. If you're going to stay at the bottom for the rest of your life, it should be 5. But who cares where it starts? As long as it's a hood. It's a ladder. It's not a bed. It's not a bed. You don't have to stay here. But if you want to move from 4 to 5, we don't need legislation. What do you need to do? Climb. And become what? More valuable. Why would the marketplace only pay somebody $4 an hour? Answer. To the marketplace, they're not very valuable. Now, to the marketplace, might be a valuable brother? Yes. Valuable member of the family? Of course. Valuable citizen in the country? Yes. Valuable in the sight of God? Yes. We're all created of equal value in the sight of God. But to the marketplace, if you're not very valuable, you don't get much money. You say, well, it shouldn't be that way. Well, go design your own country. You can change it. Here's all you got to do to get more money in the marketplace. Answer what? Become more valuable. Why would the marketplace pay somebody $400 an hour? Evidently, that's a good word, evidently they must be more valuable. Evidently. Now, why would a company pay somebody $80 million for 1 year's work? This person must be very valuable. Evidently. You say, well, $80 million, would a company pay one person $80 million for 1 year's work? And the answer is yes, if you're valuable. If you helped a company make $1 billion, would they pay you $80 million? I said, yes, of course, it's chicken feed. I got a telephone call not long ago. A company that's going to do some international expansion, various countries around the world. And they said, Mr. Owen, if you'll lend a hand for a little while, we'll add some millions to your fortune to help us expand internationally. I said, okay. I thought later, isn't that interesting they'd call me? My second thought was, of course they'd call me. Who else would they call? Now, I'm a farm boy from Idaho. I told you my story, raised in obscurity. At age 25, I'm broke. I got pennies in my pocket. I got nothing in my bank. Behind on my big mouth promises to my family. Then how come I get a telephone call not long ago offering me millions? Offering to pay me millions. Evidently, what? I've become much more valuable than I was at age 25. Is it possible to become worth millions? Is it possible to become worth... Now, Mr. Schultz gave me the clue, and I'm going to give you one of the most incredible clues I've given you all day long. Schultz said, it's very simple, Mr. Owen. Here's all you have to do. Work harder... Work harder on yourself than you do on your job. Wow, that phrase changed my life. If you would have known me at age 25, here's what you would have said. Mr. Owen's a hard worker. Yes, I was a hard worker. On my job. And what did that get me? A living. It got me a living. Schultz said, now, Mr. Roan, the next years of your life, what I will teach you is how to go to work, not just on your job. I'll teach you how to go to work on yourself and make yourself much more valuable to the marketplace. And he said, you won't believe the change in income. You won't believe the change in promotion. You won't believe the change in fortune. He said, you can have all you want because you can work on yourself as much as you want. He said, here's the secret. Work harder on yourself than you do on your job. If you work hard on your job, you'll make a living. If you work hard on yourself, you can make a fortune. I invite you on such a journey. Now, here's the next part. Personal development not just for economics. Personal development for your family. Personal development for your contribution to the country. The best contribution you can make to someone else is your own personal development. Become better than you are and stronger than you are and wiser than you are and more skilled than you are and more disciplined than you are. Think of what a treasure that will be for your wife and for your husband and for your children and for your family. Personal development is the best contribution you can make. Unique thing said about God. Unique thing said about God. One writer said this. His arm is not short. What a simple set of words to give us an incredible picture. Be reassured, what? God's arm is not short. You cannot think of anything more pitiful than a God with a short arm. So short, couldn't what? Reach all the way. So short, what? Couldn't reach everybody. This writer said, no, no, no. You do not have to worry about that. God's arm is not short. Not only can he reach all the way, he can reach everybody. What an incredible thing to be able to say about God. Shouldn't we be able to say that about every father? His arm is what? Not short. He can reach all of his children. His arm is not short. He can reach all the way. He's got a library second to none. He's got stories to illustrate any point he wants to. He's not short on reach. Allstate Insurance says it well, what? You're in good hands. Shouldn't that be well said of everybody? They've got good hands. Don't worry about the kids that go to this school. With the teacher they've got in that school, those kids are in good hands, hopefully. Don't worry about the kids that belong to this family. With those kind of parents, these kids are in good hands. Don't the rest of the countries of the world say, don't worry about Americans. With the people they've elected to office, they're in here's what I'm asking you to do. Strive to develop the best hands you can develop. Hands that can touch, hands that can comfort, hands that can weave lifestyle second to none, develop a long reach and a long arm. Guess what all this is called? Personal development. Personal growth. Becoming better than you are. And now here's the ultimate. We talk more about this on the weekend, but here is the ultimate. Don't settle for less than you can be. If you can be richer than you are, don't settle for less. If you can be stronger than you are, don't settle for less. If you can be more well-read than you are, don't settle for less. If you can develop more skills than you've got, don't settle for less. Strive. Strive. One ancient script says, strive for perfection. It doesn't mean you may ever reach it, but the striving is what's important. Why? To be better this year than you were last year. To be better with the vocabulary this year than last year, words of language that have power this year versus empty words last year. I'm asking you to become better than you are step by step, day by day, year by year, book by book, treasure by treasure. Personal development. Now, one more subject here, setting goals, and then we're going to take a stretch. Isn't this good stuff? I'm telling you, this kind of talking changed my life at age 25. I've never been the same. Since I got this put in such simple form, a farm boy from Idaho could understand it without pyramids and crystals. Now, here's the last subject before we take our break. Setting goals. Setting goals is a very simple practice. Mr. Schultz taught me when I was 25. Revolutionized my life, learning how to set goals. Here's how simple goal setting is. Now, forget all the silly stuff on goals. You don't need to visualize. You don't need to anchor. You don't need to focus. That's all too silly. Kids can't learn that. The stuff I want, make it so simple, kids can learn it. Anybody can understand it. The teenagers can get it. I figure I've got it made. Here's how easy it is to set goals. Number one, decide what you want. Take a little time and a little thought. Decide what you want. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? What do you want to be? What do you want to see? What do you want to have? What kind of health do you want in the next 5 years? the people you want to meet? Where do you want to go? What kind of experiences would you like to have? What kind of promotions do you want? What kind of income do you want? Just take a little thought sometime. Make a little list. What do you want? Sit down with your wife. What do we want? Sit down with the family. What do we all want? What do we each want? What do we all want? Sit down with your business colleagues. Say, where are we going? What do we want? A little exercise here. Decide what you want. Here's the next key. Write it down. Just make a list. Here's the health goals I want. Here's what I want to give away. Here's the projects I want to support. Here's the things I want to own. Here's the properties. Here's the income. Here's the promotions. Here's my benevolence. Here's all the stuff. This is it. Number one, decide what you want. Number two, write it down. Here's number three. Keep the old list. Because you're going to constantly make new lists and keep the old list. Here's why. To see how you've grown. One of the best ways to see your own personal development and your own personal growth is to keep the old list of goals while you're making new lists. I look back now on goals I set 10 years ago, I smile. Here's what I thought was so important 10 years ago. I'm telling you, it isn't even in first place anymore. It's way down the list. Here's what's important to me now. My priorities have changed. Why? I've become better educated in the last 10 years than I was 10 years ago, and my goal lists prove it. So, number three is keep the old list. I go back 20 years ago, list of goals. Say, my gosh, here's what I thought would really do it for me. And I smile. I was in the first grade back here, guys. So have you got that number three? Keep the old list. Now here's number four. When you get something on your list, check it off. When I went to Spain for the first time, landed in Madrid, when the wheels touched the runway, I happened to have that journal because I keep my goal list in my journal. I happened to have that journal that had that list of goals. Go to Spain. When the wheels touched the runway, I checked it off. Got it. Now guess what else I've learned to do? Put a whole lot of little things on my list so I get to check off something every day. Got it. And that's it. That's the simple art of setting goals. Now put serious things on your goal list. Important things, frivolous things, little things, special things. Doesn't matter what it is. It's your list. On my first list of goals, I had some revenge on my first list. Some of the people who said I couldn't do it, they went on my list. Budget finance, who threatened to come get my car, drag it rear end down the street in front of my neighbors, they went on my list. Budget finance. Some revenge. Well, it doesn't matter. As long as it's important to you, put it on your list. Might be frivolous to someone else, but not to you. My Japanese friend, Toru Ikeda, up in San Jose, put on his first list. A Caucasian gardener. Wow. I like that. That's how simple it is.
This is the end of this disc. The program continues on the next CD.